pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for how it challenges us and stirs us and reminds us of our purpose and our calling. And so we pray, would you renew our sense of calling this morning by your word? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, when you were a child, when someone asked you, what would you like to be when you grow up? I wonder what your answer was. Sam, I wonder, was your answer, I'd like to be the Dean O'Connor? No, I didn't think so. As a child, I never wanted to be anything else but a primary school teacher. That was it. That was my only plan. And then one day, God came knocking, and my plans were turned on their head. But how often do we ask children, what do you want to be when you grow up? What is it you'd like to do? But actually, for us as Christians, the question should be less about what do you want to be, and actually the question should be, what are you called to do? And we shouldn't just ask children, we should ask one another, what are you called to do? As Sam mentioned, today is Vocation Sunday for the Church of Ireland, and we're tying it in with our 21st Century Church series. And so this morning we're going to look at what it means to be a called church. I wonder what it is you think of when you hear the word vocation. I wonder who you think of when you hear the word vocation, because sometimes the word vocation is misunderstood, and in the church we talk about vocation in the sense of ordained ministry and clergy, those who go into full-time paid ministry. But this morning, if we're going to be true to what Margaret has read for us, then we need to broaden that sense of vocation and calling out, and we need to think about the vocation that God has for each and every one of us. And as we think about this, I think vocation is really evident in someone's life when three particular things come together. The first is the call of God. And the second is the assignment of God. And the third is the anointing of God. And we need all three for a real vocation. So let's think about these. Let's think about this idea of the call of God. And as I said, calling is not just for those who are ordained. And I think sometimes clergy have claimed that sense of vocation and calling, and that's not right. Actually, all of us have a calling, but sometimes clergy are particularly good at talking about their calling and articulating that sense of being called. And so this morning, as we explore this idea of call, we're going to watch a video, and it's been put together by the Church of Ireland, and it features a number of clergy who reflect on their calling, how it felt to be called, and how they've arrived at this place. So we're going to watch this video, and if you watch carefully, you'll recognise a few faces that you know. I'm the curate of Lisburn Cathedral.
And I'm a hospital chaplain in the Diocese of Cork, Cloyne and Ross.
I'm Bishop of Meath and Kildare.
And I work in the parish of Rathmines with Harrow's Cross.
I'm Bishop's curate for the Mivill group of parishes here up on the Inishowen Peninsula.
I'm the rector of the parish church here in Ballinamallard.
I'm the Dean of St Mary's Cathedral in Limerick and rector of Limerick City Parish.
And I'm a curate in St Mark's Parish, Portadown.
I'm not a farmer, but I've lived in many rural communities, so I know what animals do, and I know the hard work that farmers put in. It's just a lovely place to minister and to bring the gospel and to receive, because the people are of great faith.
What inspired me into hospital chaplaincy was being able to be alongside people who are vulnerable, who are frightened, who are afraid. As well as having lots of opportunities to rejoice and to celebrate with people who get good news, who are well again.
Never imagined being a bishop. And sometimes people would have teased me and said, you'll be the first woman bishop. And I thought, do you know me at all? Starting off as a youth worker, and that gave me a taste for ministry that I think I never forgot.
And during a vacancy, one retired clergy just asked me straight out, have I ever considered life within the church? And it's sparked a flame, really, that I started questioning maybe, and then explored it and looked at the various options, and one thing led to another.
I love the intergenerational feel of what our church community has, and I love people to feel part of the bigger church. And so I set up a cycling group for our mental health and to keep fit, to get people together so they can ask questions about God, talk about faith, and have the freedom to do that. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, people want to belong somewhere.
The chaplaincy that I'm involved with in Ballinamallard is the chaplaincy for the football club, Ballinamallard United. I knew nothing about football at the time. I know a lot more now. I like to see the church being out in the community rather than trying to get the community into the church.
A very important part of our work is, for example, to go into the schools, particularly the Church of Ireland schools, but also community colleges, and share good news and help the kids, the older kids in particular, think about ethical questions and how this relates to faith and their lives and their futures.
I love what the church is and what it's called to be, and all the variety that there is in the church.
I think I have a real low boredom threshold, so I love the ministry because it's very varied.
No one week is the same. This morning we welcomed the Hungarian ambassador to the cathedral. This afternoon I'm organising flower rotas. This evening I'm going to sit on the board of a secondary school. No one day is the same. It's one of the great joys and privileges of ordained ministry.
I want to make a difference. I feel a real sense of privilege that this is my call, but it wasn't in the plan.
I have to live and be known by my authenticity as a Christian. We listen to connect to the other person.
It's got to be about connection, because Jesus, that's how Jesus did it. He connected one-to-one with people.
One of my biggest passions is to see people serve the local church. And what brings my heart so much joy is just seeing people do the things that God has gifted them with.
I think at the root of calling, all human beings were called back to God.
It's about a resonance that goes deep within your soul that ties into the love of God that He has for people. I actually resisted ordination for a period of time. I was working in business, and this sort of rising innate sense of needing to respond was bubbling up.
For me, it was a process. It was a journey over years of God just doing and working in and through me.
Ordination's a very definite calling, and I'd really encourage people to at least consider it. And if it's not for you, absolutely fine, because it has to be for you and it has to be a calling.
When it's sort of crystallised was the moment the Archbishop of Dublin contacted me to say, yes, we believe this calling is for you. But I still felt a sense it's still up to me to respond to that. I still saw it as an invitation. But that was a very, very important moment. And there have been a number of moments along my journey like that.
Don't stop asking God through your life about what He wants you to do.
And there's such a joy and a privilege in being with people and leading a diocese. I absolutely love it.
When I first felt that initial call, I was so reluctant.
I felt like I responded to this innate call God put on my heart. And so everything flows back to that.
And when I think about what I wanted to do with my life before and where I'm at now, I think there's no way I would be fulfilled in any other role. Turns out clergy don't just work on Sundays. Actually, in ordained ministry, even though we're called to the same role, there's huge variety, and each of us have a different calling within that, and I hope you got a flavour of that from that video. And so the same applies to the whole church. We're called to one goal, but all of us have a different calling. Suzanne said in that video that at the root of calling, that all of us are called back to God. And as we think about calling and vocation, then we must realise that Christian vocation begins at creation. All things have their origin in God. All things are brought into being by him, and therefore all things come with his purpose and his vision for them. The whole created world is a result of God's calling. Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, said this: vocation is God's summons into existence itself. God calls creation into being. Everything that is made is called and named. So I want to say, if for a moment you're sitting here this morning and thinking, oh, well, I don't have a vocation, I don't have a calling on my life, then consider the fact that you're sitting here today. At some point, God called you into existence. And if you're a Christian here this morning, then at some point, God called you to salvation. So already you have been called by God. And so without doubt, there is a call on every single one of our lives, not just mine and Sam's. But each and every one of us have a vocation that is equally important. We need the call of God if we are to see our vocation. But the second thing we need is the assignment of God. Let me tell you the story of Gillian. Gillian was just 8 years old, and her school life was a disaster. She didn't do her homework on time, you couldn't read her handwriting, her test results were very poor, and she struggled to pay attention in class. She fidgeted most of the time. And eventually the school booked Gillian in with an educational psychologist to have her tested for any learning disability she might have. And at that appointment, Gillian sat beside her mother while her mother discussed with the psychologist the problems that Gillian was having at school. And after a while, the psychologist thanked Gillian for being so patient and sitting there, but he asked her to be a little bit more patient, as he wanted to just speak to her mum out in the corridor, so if she could just wait in the room. And on the way out of the room, the psychologist turned on the radio for Gillian to listen to. And he took her mother into the corridor. He left the door just slightly open and asked Gillian's mum to watch what happened. And no sooner had the adults left the room than Gillian got up and began to dance to the music on the radio. And the psychologist turned to Gillian's mum and said, "Your daughter doesn't have a learning disability. She's just a dancer. Take her to a dance school." And so Gillian went to dance school, she practiced hard, she got a place at the Royal Ballet School and later joined the Royal Ballet Company, performing all over the world. And Gillian Lynn became one of the most accomplished choreographers of our time. She choreographed Cats and The Phantom of the Opera for Andrew Lloyd Webber. But for Gillian, the placement of where she was so important. It's not that she was ungifted or uncalled or unskilled. She was simply in the wrong place. And so for us, the assignment of where we are and the placement of where we're serving is important. I want you to consider, what is it God has called you to do? Where has he called you to? Because those are the two main questions as we think about this question of calling this morning. The question is what and where? So you need to ask the Lord that. Lord, what do you want me to do, and where do you want me to do? There are some people here this morning and in our wider church family who are exactly where God wants you to be. And that might be in your workplace, among your family, in your particular neighbourhood, or even in this church is exactly where God wants you to be to serve. And so for you, the question this morning is, what do you want me to do, Lord? There are also people here, and again in our wider church family, and God actually wants to move you to something different. Because sometimes he calls us into something new in order to fulfill our calling. Not for one minute did I ever think God would call me into ordained ministry. And yet, as I said in that video, I have never been more fulfilled than I am now. And so for us to fulfill our calling, sometimes God calls us to something new. Maybe you're already serving in some capacity, and that's great. But actually, maybe you need to ask God, where is it you want me to be? I wonder, as I say these things this morning, how many of you are thinking, this really doesn't apply to me, to be honest, because I've kind of done my years of serving, and you know, I feel like I've kind of fulfilled my calling. Let me just remind you this morning of one of our heroes of the faith, Moses. Moses and his brother Aaron were no spring chickens when God called them to his service. In fact, in Exodus 7, we read this: Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. None of us are discounted because of our age or our circumstances. Do not let age or even how you feel physically, never let that put you off hearing the call of God and responding. I thank God for those who do serve in this church. I thank God for those of you who know your calling and are totally living it out. But maybe for some of you, you're not sure. Maybe you're a little bit uneasy about what you do, and maybe God needs to do something new. And so Sam mentioned these little cards on your seats this morning. And on the front of it says, "It's your call." And I guess that's a double meaning. This is your call from God, but it's your call. It's got to be your decision, but we're asking you to respond. On the back of this card, there are a number of boxes, and there's a whole range of ministries there. There is the Bible reading rota, so what Margaret has done for us this morning, or maybe praying in church, maybe you'd be open to that. Maybe you'd like to help with our children's work, or maybe you'd like to help with the youth work, or maybe you'd like to know a little bit more about the sound or the visuals in this church. There are a whole range of things that you could do. And so what we want you to do is really prayerfully consider how you might fill this in. What is it God might have you do? And there's deliberately a whole range. Things that take an hour a week to things that are a little bit more strenuous in terms of your commitment. But you need to seek the Lord for that. We can't tell you where it is you should serve, but you should seek the Lord. And if you fill this in and return it to us with your name and a contact detail at the top of it, then either Sam or I or someone else in leadership here in the cathedral will contact you and chat to you about what that might look like. And so I want you to take that home and really pray. Please don't dismiss this morning and think, this is not for me, but really ask the Lord. And if the Lord says you're done, then that's fine. But really ask him, do you want me to do something new, Lord? And if you really pray and feel that actually you have done your service and you couldn't commit to any time or you just physically couldn't do it, then what we want you to do is tick the boxes you're most passionate about, return it to us, and we'll get in touch about ways that you can pray for some of these areas, because you can support us in prayer even if you can't be on the ground. Please never underestimate the impact that you can have on generations coming up by praying for them. How you're placed and the place that you serve is important. So we need the call of God. We need the assignment of God. And then finally, we need the anointing of God. At the heart of vocation is our being set apart for God for a particular work. And if any of us are going to do what God wants us to do, then we need to be anointed. And I wonder what you think of when you think of that word anointing. Maybe it seems super spiritual and way out there and definitely not something for you. But let me tell you, anointing is not just for the Billy Grahams of this world or the Archbishop of Canterbury. Anointing is for all of us. The anointing of God comes when he sets his Holy Spirit in us to allow us to do something in particular. So for example, say Billy Graham was an anointed preacher, and he certainly was. It's because God supernaturally enabled him to do that. He probably had to learn practical skills of preaching and evangelism, but God gave his Holy Spirit to Billy, and he was able to preach like never before, better than he ever could have done on his own. Think about when Jesus first called his disciples. He didn't look at this bunch of random men and say, "Boys, you've passed the first stage of interview, and I see you have a little bit of potential, so I'd like you to enlist in a training program, and we'll see if you get to the next stage." He didn't say that. He said this: "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. Some translations translate that as, "I'll show you how to fish." But it's more than that, because the original translation is, "I will make." I will make, Jesus will make us. And that is what happens when we are anointed for something. It's not our own effort, but Jesus supernaturally enables us to do something well. We show up with our efforts, and Jesus makes it something special. What is it God needs to make special in your life? What is it you need the anointing of God on? Because here's the reality in my own ministry and in this church. If God is not anointing it and he doesn't want to be part of it, then I don't either. We need to seek the anointing of God in everything that we do. We need anointed preachers. We need anointed youth and children's workers, anointed worship leaders, anointed prayer ministry. But we also need people who are anointed for taking our work in Hill Hall to the next level. We need, in our generation, anointed teachers, anointed doctors, anointed lawyers, anointed business people, anointed politicians. And if we are going to be the 21st century church, living up to our calling, then we need the call of God, the assignment of God, and we need the anointing of God. I realize maybe you can't respond immediately to that and say, sign me up to this. Maybe you need to take some time to pray. And we would love to do that with you. But we'd also love to pray if you do have a sense of something God is calling you to, however big or small that is. As we've thought about this idea of anointing, as I've looked throughout the Bible, there are so many cases of people being anointed, literally anointed with oil or sometimes with the blood of animals to indicate that they are set apart. And so this morning, if you particularly feel that there is a call upon your life for something and you would like God to just bless that and you would like to receive a fresh anointing, then Sam and I at the end of the service will be around. We both have some anointing oil with us and we're happy to anoint you with oil and to bless you in the name of God that he would release you into your calling. But I really don't want this to just end here once I say amen. I want you to take this home. Ask the Lord, what is it you would have me do? Do not write yourself off for any reason, from anything. But ask the Lord, what would you want me to do? What is it you have called me for? Let us pray. Lord, we are amazed at your design for the church. How you have called together all sorts of people with all sorts of gifts. And Lord, that you continue to do that. And we realize, Lord, that we are unworthy of your calling, and yet you call us. So, Lord, we pray that you would give us ears to hear you, that our hearts would be sensitive to your calling on our lives. So, Lord, this week, help us to know and do your will for our lives. For Christ's sake and glory, we ask. Amen.